Morning. How are we doing?
Good. All right, day three. We're almost home. This has been a great show. I was just thinking back to the beginning keynote, and I think Dave Lewis totally nailed it. He said the content of these shows is always really great. It's what drives people to come to these things, but it's the networking that really is the most valuable part for a lot of people. That's been the case for me, and specifically sharing challenges and hearing other people's challenges, because one of the things that I realized is even though our companies might look very different from one another, we sell to different end users. As marketers and as salespeople, we have very common themes. So as a takeaway from my presentation, I'm hoping that everybody can take back at least one concept, one theme, and apply it directly to your business. That would be my goal. So again, I'm Pat Oldenburg. I lead demand gen at ServiceMax, and we define that as North America field marketing and then global digital marketing and marketing ops. ServiceMax, just as a bit of background here, ServiceMax is a field service management software provider. We help organizations improve their service revenues, improve efficiencies, and really at the heart of the product, it's the field technicians, which are kind of the unsung heroes of the service industry. They perform different jobs in different industries, but you can think of somebody in the basement of a hospital doing preventive maintenance on an MRI machine, or somebody on an oil rig for 3 to 4 weeks at a time doing safety and compliance checks, or somebody 300 feet in the air dangling from a carabiner, making sure that a wind turbine functions properly. So it's a cool space, really tangible benefits. ServiceMax itself, like Jocelyn mentioned, was acquired by GE in 2016, and we were just acquired by Silver Lake Partners, private equity firm, about 2 weeks ago. So for my next year's presentation, I'm already pitching this. I'll be hopefully in the digital strategy side, talking about how to rebrand your company both online and offline, in-house with no budget. So it's a special couple of weeks we've been going through. All right, so humor me for a second. Picture this scenario. We have a quarterly operating meeting that's run by our CFO. And every quarter, there's three departments that stand up there and go through really in-depth slides about performance. Marketing was on the docket this particular operating review, and so I was presenting on behalf of marketing. 60 minutes, I had 90 slides. So first thing everybody can take away is don't try to crank through a slide every 45 seconds. It's not possible at all. So I put up this slide. I'm 65 slides in. I remember it perfectly. And our CEO has been staring at his phone the whole time. After about slide three, he tuned out. He looks up, he walks up to the board, and he's looking at it. And he turns around, and he goes, what the hell am I looking, what is this? And I said, this is an AQL disposition report. It shows you high-quality leads and kind of their current status. And he said, yeah, is this good? Is this bad? Is it getting better? Is it getting worse? He was really heated, like very calm guy, very heated. He said, you can't show a report to me again with no trend and no target. And so I said, okay, well, hold on. So if we get to slide 75, I've got some trends and targets. He goes, no, you're done. You're done. You're over. You didn't do it 45 seconds a slide. We're going to engineering. So it was like the biggest public shaming I've ever experienced in my business career. But let me explain how I got to that, not just to save face in front of all of you marketing experts here, but just to give more context as to why I showed this in the first place. So ServiceMax, over the years, we've had a lot of change. I mentioned that the acquisitions, but aside from that, we've had a lot of sales strategy changes. When I joined the company in the beginning of 2016, we had three distinct sales teams. We had an express line, which was small business. You can think of like HVAC, pest control, landscaping businesses that are going off whiteboards and trying to automate scheduling. And then we had mid-market and enterprise divisions, which were geographically dispersed. They were tiered by the number of employees of the companies that they sold to. Then we got another head of sales when I joined. He killed off the small business line for various reasons. And he formed this sales organization called the Triad, which is kind of a cool name, but it's an outside sales rep, an inside sales rep, and a CAM. And they're geographically aligned territories, and they work the accounts within that. And then there were six strategic account reps, and they work the multinational accounts. You can think of like GE was our biggest customer before they bought us. Siemens, Pitney Bowes, those kinds of companies. So that worked well. Then we got acquired by GE. We were asked to align to the GE selling model. And GE, everybody knows GE, it's a 126-year-old company. And so as a sales rep, you have 25 accounts that you've sold trains into for 100 years. And just, that's overly extreme, but that was how we were asked to align with the sales department. So we did that. We had a named account focus, but we also hedged our bet. So we had 40% in this enterprise sales function, which was a catch-all. You could sell to anybody that came in from the website or attended a trade show. All right, so 2019, new owners, new ServiceMax, new sales strategy. Again, we're kind of going back to the triad, but now we're introducing the fourth leg of the chair, which is the customer account manager for upsells and renewals. But each one of these pods is assigned between 80 and 120 accounts. So at this point, we are 100% locked into target accounts. There's about 4,500 of them globally. Yes, we can add new accounts if they meet a certain criteria, but it's a formal process and we don't work white space anymore. So what does this change cause? I just named four very, very distinct sales strategies and alignment in 4 years. So it had a lot of effects on the team. First of all, there's no history. I couldn't tell you the win rate in the East region because the East region didn't exist last year, but it existed 2.5 years ago, but we had small business. Same with lead routing, same with account ownership, same with velocity and win rates. None of that stuff. We have no consistent history. The second result is that from an operational standpoint, my operations team hates life 2 months out of the year because we have to completely redo everything as far as lead routing, account ownership, opportunity ownership. The sales reps are fighting about, well, I have this opportunity. I haven't talked to him in 6 months, and now you're putting him under Pete, and Pete has never talked to them. So we deal with that 2 months out of the year. And from an inside sales perspective, what that causes is a reliance on inbound because as an inside sales rep, I have no idea who I'm working for the first 2 months out of the year. And so I sit at my desk and I wait for an inbound call or I wait for a contact me form because that's the only way that I know who I've been assigned. And then finally, there's reporting needs changes that come about of this. So, because of course, you know, if we have a named account strategy, it's very different than the inbound strategy of before. Now, marketing is committed to some more consistent, I would say, more consistent approach than sales. We commit to a few different things. We commit to a number of sourced opportunities. And by sourced, I know there's first touch, last touch, somewhere in the middle. What we define as sourced is the last touch on the primary contact before an opportunity was created. Because we had a lot of people that came in from lists from years ago that have been dormant, and then they'll go to a trade show and come to a dinner, and then an opportunity is created the next day. That would have a trade show or a, you know, one-to-one event as the lead source. So we commit to that. We commit to a certain drumbeat of activities as far as field events and trade show sponsorships globally. We have our user conference as well. We commit to air cover just through press coverage, through our blog, through advertising on GDN and programmatic advertising. And then we commit to creating content for sales. So you could think of like pitch decks, competitive analysis, that kind of stuff. Things that sales would send to prospects or use throughout the sales cycle. We used to commit to leads and AQLs. We did. This is kind of our evolution. Leads and AQLs. We committed to a certain amount of them. And I used to show this slide all the time. My boss, our CMO, loves it. I worked with him now at three companies. And he still asks for this today. And these slides, basically, the bars are actuals, the lines are targets, and we back into these from win rate and velocity from each one of the stages. So if you need to close 10 million of bookings, how many ops do you need to create today? How many AQLs did you need to create last month? And how many leads do you need to create at a point in time? This is a cool report. This is kind of what our CEO is asking for. And this worked when we had a small business line and when things looked more like this, where the evaluator is the buyer and is the person that you're going to see throughout the cycle, and there's not a whole lot of other people involved. That was the case when we sold, you know, into HVAC companies and things like that. It's pretty consistent. So we had a 5-to-1 lead to op ratio in this example. What we're seeing now is that we see the first activities that we do with our field marketing, our inside sales team, is that we go into Dun & Bradstreet Hoovers, we go into Discover.org, and we do kind of a joint lead loading process where we grab all the personas, we go into each account, and we basically fill them out. So accounts come in as shells, we create them, and then we fill them out. Then we'll nurture them and advertise to them, and it bubbles up. So in this example, you'll see that there's, you know, three people from this company that attended a trade show after we loaded them in the system, and then there was an opportunity created. So the problem with this is that the numbers between leads and AQLs and ops swings pretty greatly from month to month, making it really inconsistent and not really reliable. So I can't tell if this is a 5-to-1 lead to op or if this is an 18-to-1 lead to op. And I don't think any of our executives could either. And so the reason that I was showing that AQL report was because I didn't have anything else to show at that point in time. We had changed so much and we hadn't kept up our reporting cadence and our reporting strategy to meet the needs of the business. So instead of running my desk and grabbing those three charts and going up to the CEO and saying, "See, I do have something that has a trend and a target. Thanks for embarrassing me." We decided to take a step back. We said, how can we really adjust to these new go-to-market needs? And how can we quickly adapt to them? And how can we measure everything from the very, very beginning, which is now the account selection itself? What is our target market? What is our ICP? All the way down to how are we doing in demand gen? How are we selling? What's the win rate? And that kind of thing. And then how can we use this reporting framework to really drive behavior, especially the sales? I mentioned the inbound mentality. How can we get them to stop relying on the AQLs coming to their desk and the inbound phone calls, use that as an input to something, but not as the end-all be-all of their performance? So two outputs that came out of this exercise. The first one is that we have got to get rid of this old lead AQL op funnel. It's no longer relevant for our particular business. It may not be relevant for your businesses. We need to go to an all account funnel. Second one is we need a reporting framework that can be tiered, it can be repeatable, and everybody's using the same numbers. Because the worst thing that could happen is we go into one of these operating reviews and sales and marketing are showing completely different numbers. We're talking about AQL sales, it's talking about bookings coverage, and they don't align. So the first thing is getting beyond the AQL. I realize I put getting beyond the MQL. That was a little bit of clickbait on my behalf, but we have called it an AQL. It's an automated qualified lead. I'm talking about these two things synonymously right now. But we have an AQL because it could be caused by a sales activity, somebody responding to that, or a partner referral, or a marketing activity. So we've called it an AQL. But to get beyond it, we have three main things. We have the account selection, we have a move toward intent signals, and then we have this new funnel stage. So the first one is account selection. As a very first thing that we did, we said, we need to redo our ICP. We've changed so much. We sell to a different type of company than we used to, and we need to just define that. So we did stakeholder interviews. We looked at win-loss rates by industry, by company size, geography, by CRM, install base, those kinds of things. And we came out with this really finite list of things that can differentiate account from a good account from a not good account. And then we identified that within the target market as our target account base. And then we gave it to sales and said, here are the accounts that we consider our target accounts this year. We would like you to pick 20 of them. You have 120 per pod. We'd like you to pick 20 of them that you feel that you've either made traction with or can make major inroads with for massive revenue within the next 12 months. That's a selected account. That's that lowest circle there. And then we're starting to measure things that have to do with account selection, like the total addressable market growth by geo. You can see we have some sources here from Gartner. We use other publicly available sources that track things like the growth rates in different regions for our market, the growth rates in various segments, to make sure that not only are we playing in the right places geographically, but we are focusing our teams on the right segments where we win. And they're a sizable segment, because we might do really well in oil and gas inspection services, but that might not get us to the target bookings that we need to hit. And then we're tracking things like the account growth. I mentioned we can add target accounts to that 4,500 mark if they come through and they match the ICP, but we want to know how fast we're doing it and why it's coming about. Are we off and we're missing one segment of our target accounts that just has a lot of interest, or is it other reasons? We're looking at the churn rate, and this is primarily if we lose to a competitor. That's one of the target accounts. We want to just be sure that we're tracking that. And then within those last, that smaller circle, the selected accounts, what's our win rate? We anticipate that the win rate will be a lot higher because there's going to be a lot more high-level marketing and sales activity, but we want to make sure that that's actually the case. So moving on to intent, this is kind of the big moment for the inside sales team that have been relying on these automated qualified leads to trigger an interesting moment to them to say call or email within 48 hours. We've started moving toward more of an intent from an account perspective. So we work a lot with demand-based, we work a lot with Engageo, and I'll talk a little bit about what we're doing. But this is a demand-based report. This is a product called Conversion, and basically what it does is it sends account owners and the ISRs that own the contacts within. It sends a weekly email that does three things. It says, here are your accounts that are in the news for your particular area, so field service management software related terms. Here is the activity from your accounts on your website and exactly what pages they went to and how many pages that were visited. And then how many times are these accounts searching off of your website for your related terms, which has been really helpful. It helps the teams prioritize their week. They can have a calling plan with their account executive and just tier accounts this way. The second side, the right side of this graph is the real-time integration that we have with Slack. So if they are sitting at their desk waiting for an AQL to come in and it's a slow day, they can also get a notification that, hey, John Smith from Duke Energy is on the website right now and he's on this page. If you've been trying to call him as an inside sales rep, maybe it's working. He's not responding to your calls, but he is on the site. So maybe try to give him another call or shoot him a note and see if there's any questions he can answer. Second, kind of a weekly report that we're doing right now is with Engageo. Now, we use Engageo for a couple different things, and I'll talk about the second part of this in a minute, but we have a weekly email, again, that gets sent to the RVPs. So they're within their territory. This email, this weekly email shows, here's a trended view of your most engaged accounts. And the most engaged accounts can either come from web activity, it can come from the efforts of their inside and outside sales reps, everything is logged in Salesforce, or it can come as a result of marketing activity. So these are the most engaged accounts week over week. And at the bottom of it, it has a prioritized list. So we have a new funnel stage that's called the marketing qualified account. This is straight out of Engageo. We actually call it just a qualified account stage because this could happen from marketing activity or sales activity or partner activity. But basically, it gets us to where we were with the AQL. It's a pre-funnel predictor of future ops. And so this qualified account stage is set by multiple contacts within the account. So it gets around the problem of the bulk account loading and then, you know, certain accounts have AQLs and then we get one op. And multiple accounts, multiple people from accounts doing a certain threshold of activity within a period of time. So it's time-bound, it's people-bound, it's activity-bound. Second output from this has been the reporting framework. We identified three main tiers of people that would get reports. So there's the board, the leadership team. There's marketing and sales leadership. We meet on a weekly basis with them. And then there's the marketing stakeholders, the campaign managers that are actually executing on these events and initiatives. So for the board, what they care about is, and I understand this is small, I've got a couple quick drill down reports in a second, but what the board cares about, in addition to, of course, forecasts and actual attainment of bookings, what they care about are things like pipeline generation, bookings coverage, penetration of target accounts, and this op commit. So the top left report that we're looking at is actually showing the bookings growth for those select accounts, those top 20s, versus the bookings growth of the non-select accounts. And so this is always a good conversation to have with sales. And I think it's kind of where we are right now is we need to have some more checks on the select accounts because they're actually growing pipeline slower than the non-select accounts. The bookings coverage, we choose a 5x target. That just means if you have 10 million as a quota as a sales rep in the next 12 months, you need to have 50 in forecast and commit. And that's kind of a rolling target. If you lose, if you win, you have to refill that pipeline for the rolling 12 months out. And we look at this at a geographic level as well as a territory level. We've got some work to do in APAC. And then this is the account penetration. So this is kind of pulled out of Engageo. We pulled it out for the board purposes, but we've added some more color to each one of these funnel stages. You can see we've got the total number of target accounts. We've got the accounts that are aware they've done a little bit of activity, or maybe it's just one person that's done activity. And then we have this new qualified stage, and then we have the open ops. So this has been really interesting for the board to see and look at our funnel and our efforts in this kind of a way, as opposed to the lead metrics with, that they never totally understood. And then finally, this commit versus actual. So again, I mentioned that marketing commits to a certain percentage. It was 30% last year. It's a little bit higher this year. But we look at it on a quarterly basis. So the example would be, for the quarter, we need 611 to hit bookings targets in the future. Marketing committed to 30% of that. We've overattained, whereas in this particular quarter, GE was underattaining, and as was sales. Not to throw anybody under the bus. For marketing and sales, we meet weekly about this stuff. So what we've done here is we've actually identified a big lever in our funnel that there's two stages in particular that we can change the velocity and the conversion rates. And when we do that, we've seen a huge spike in the win rates. So we highlight these and we cover these on a weekly basis. These are these two reports, the velocity from stage 0 to 1, which is a demo, and then from 1 to 2, which is the formal inside sales, outside sales handoff. These are two pivotal moments in the op. When they don't happen fast and they don't happen at a certain rate, our win rate drops pretty significantly. So now we have SLAs for these as far as days to stage 1 into stage 2, and we have a target for the conversion rate from 0 to 2. And then we use lean data for a lot of things. The lead routing piece, I'm happy to talk to anybody about it. We love lean data for routing. They're really, really good, especially when you're matching leads to accounts. But we also use them for attribution. So on every opportunity, we're actually able to see all the successful marketing touches and all the sales touches on an op. And it's something that we track over time. And we review certain wins with the sales team when we meet with them on this weekly cadence. One of the things that we identified was that if we have any marketing touch in a late stage op, so stage 4, stage 5, where historically we've been asked to turn off things like nurture, target account advertising, then we have a 3x win rate. And so it's kind of the opposite of the guidance that we had been given in the past to please turn off marketing. It's actually like, please turn up marketing. And it's one of those things that we're tracking very, very closely for all of our late stage opportunities. And then finally, the marketing reports that we have. So three main types of marketing reports. We have the channel, the channel heat map, I call it. And we track, I cut off a lot of columns here. We track everything from CPM, CPL, cost per AQL, cost per op, cost per $1 pipeline, cost per $1 of revenue. We track all those things for marketing purposes only. And so you can see we still do have the leads and AQLs per month just as an input. But you can read this vertically. So the red is bad or orange is bad, green is good kind of a thing. And you can see that webinars, for example, produce a lot of leads in this month. So we had a sponsored event. Those leads didn't AQL. And it did lead to some pipeline. This just goes to show everybody that all of these activities, marketing and sales, you can't just cut everything and spend it all on advertising, because if I did have the cost per lead for advertising, you would see that it was bright red, the brightest red of any of these items. And then we have the account funnel for regions. So we have every single region, all 40 of them, has an account funnel that they review, the field marketing team reviews with their sales rep. To go over what are the accounts that have no engagement, and what can we partner to do to try to get those accounts forward in the funnel, or to wipe them out of the selected accounts. And then finally, the campaign level performance. All the campaign owners want to see how their activities perform. This is a specific cut of the campaigns showing web direct for a period of time. But what we're tracking now is the successful touches on target accounts. And the multi-touch attribution, that's that MT attribution, is just of all of the influence on an opportunity or on an account, what is the split influence on that account for this activity? So what's next? There's a couple takeaways that we have next. We're not done with our journey. We have to automate this. I think you probably could tell that some of this is in Excel, some of it's in PowerPoint, some of it's in Salesforce, Engageo, Demandbase. Need to automate it. we need more intent signals and data. That was pretty clear from the sales team. They want to know more. They want us to get more data and have it push into Salesforce for their knowledge. And then we need to refine the account scoring. So for those non-selected accounts, how do we bubble up the ones that should be selected accounts? I mentioned we're growing pipeline faster for the non-selected accounts. Why is that? We need to find out what other inputs we have that can make an account that should be one of the top fives. So for takeaways, obviously, don't make the mistake that I made. You have to have a target. You have to have a trend. Don't do that. Don't show it without context. Make sure that the reports are lining up with the sales strategy and with the go-to-market strategy. And then tier your reports, because when people do get a hold of these reports and they're relevant for the business and you start pulling them, it's going to become somebody's full-time job to do it unless you can tier them, give people templates to run and say, go build, and we'll all have the same metrics that we're showing. So that's my presentation. I appreciate everybody listening. And if there's any questions, I'm happy to take them. Yeah.
Your channel performance slide you mentioned before, go.
Yeah.
How long do you think that before you start putting it into the success?
Oh, for the heat map? Yeah, we do it probably each half of the year. We look back at the previous half. So it's like 6 months. Yeah, our lead to op time is probably 3 to 5 months, I'd say. And so we have a pretty good idea of at least cost per op and cost per $1 pipeline at that point in time. Yeah, go ahead. Walk back.
Are you using Engageo to measure velocity?
We use Engageo to measure velocity between that new funnel stage, that MQA and op, yes. And then from op to close, we use Salesforce. And historically, we had to get crazy with how we used it because there are leads and there are contacts that can create ops. It was a mess.
And we have time for one more question. You pick.
go ahead. Yeah.
So with Engageo, how did you decide the scoring criteria for MQA? Did you use like the out-of-box Engageo advice?
We came up with our own. We tried to get as close to like how many minutes it would actually take you for most things, not events. I mean, I wouldn't put like however many minutes are in a 3-day event, but for things like a webinar, for things like a demo, we put about 60 minutes each of those. And then the good thing is whenever you change the minutes and then it retroactively affects the accounts. And so we could see kind of how that works. And that's something that we just keep tuning. Unlike lead scoring, we haven't heard a lot of negative feedback about the account scoring. It seems to be pretty solid. So it's more of just kind of trying to push the boundaries and see how many MQAs we can get before the quality degrades. Thanks.
Great. So let's give a big round of applause for Pat.
Thank you.
Content. That's wonderful.